for the morning to you, Cisa. You smoothie, me ice cold pizza. Cafe ole, latte da. You do the Zumba, but I do not. Give me like half a marathon. I'll give you the gospel of St. John. Hits me like a wake up bomb. Cause we both know that His mercy flows in the morning.
Serious.
Good morning, Father God. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Jesus believers all over this world. Father God, I set my faith in agreement with Jesus believers. I thank you that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you that you still do awe-inspiring moves upon this earth. I just thank you because you're God. I thank you. This morning.
Who taught the sun where to stand? Can only come this far, and you showed the moon where to hide to leave me. Whose words alone can catch a falling star?
Good morning, Minister Hill.
Good morning, Dr. Erica, and good morning, Jesus believers all over the world. That song is so fitting, because these are the words the Holy Ghost was speaking to me this morning as I prepared to take communion. He said, Jesus lives. We celebrate, you know, we take communion remembering his death, and we thank God for sending us a lamb. But Jesus is not dead. He's
alive. Yeah.
And we remember, we celebrate that he lives. We celebrate that he is whole, complete, nothing missing and nothing broken.
Whoa.
Celebrate that he rose with all power, oh God.
Yeah.
And he gave that power, and he's still giving that power to us who believe. So it's a celebration. And like I told you before, when I do communion, I do what the Holy Ghost gives me. So I've been doing it lately, celebrating him as whole and complete, not dead. We remember him. We remember his death and his burial. But Jesus is yet alive. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So that song was just right on time this morning. Okay. 1 Corinthians 11:23-26. Praise God. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you.
Yeah.
This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Glory to God. Yes.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Yes, Lord.
Taught the sun where to stand in the morning, and who told the ocean you can only come this far, and you showed the moon where to hide to leave me, whose words alone can catch a falling star. Yeah.
I want you to put Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. I got it from the King James Version. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. And then I'm going to share something with you. Yesterday, they told me that I wasn't going to have power for a couple hours, not long enough for anything to defrost or anything like that. But I knew it was God. I don't know how many of you have noticed, but right now I'm in a position where God is taking me aside and ministering to me. Amen. And that's what God does with all of us if we let him. There comes a time in your walk with him, in your ministry with him, in your life with him, where he will take you aside, especially if he has called you to be a leader and to lead. He'll take you aside in the process of you living your normal everyday life. But you know that right now, at this time, I am in some place in God where God is training me, teaching me, and elevating me. You know it. Any minister, anybody really close to God will tell you that they know when they're in that space. So, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." Okay, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Well, I hate wasting time, but I know how important that this building is safe and secure. So I had to cancel another person that was scheduled to come here. And so I'm thinking, okay, God, they got to check, you know, whenever, that's why the permit thing came up. Whenever they have to check your power like that, a permit is normally involved. So I said, what am I going to do? And the Lord said, well, you know, Dr. Sandra Kennedy Church is only 3 hours from you. Why don't you just drive down there and see for yourself? Since you're telling people about it on your program, but I trust the integrity of standards of Dr. Kennedy, because we've been knowing the ministry, and I've been knowing about her a long time, long time. But it was 15 years ago when Brother Joe and I were there the last time. And that's when I think it was about 15. Might be a little more than 15. But anyway, I said, Brother Joe, I said, we're going to just put the dogs in the room and we're going to drive down there today, this morning, right now. And you got to know me when I tell you that I move on the things of God and I move on them right away. I didn't got to think about it, no 10 years or 18 months or whatever. So we keep the truck pretty clean anyway and serviced. So we got in the truck and headed for Augusta because I wanted to know for myself. The other thing, I love true signs and miracles and wonders. Wherever God is manifesting, I want to see it. I want to be there. I want to experience it. Because I know God is experienced. Okay? So before I could leave, another call came, and I knew this meant go, and said, there's some of you that have been here. You know I have a problem child named Thomas. And Thomas, some of you been here met him. If you remember a couple years ago at the healing home, y'all met Thomas. Well, I called Thomas up a couple days ago, and I told Kim, Thomas' wife, I said, you know what? Thomas' problem is purely rebellion. The rebellion demons need to be cast out. So his wife told him, I said, his problem was the spirit of rebellion, and those demons need to be dealt with. And Thomas loves me, okay? And I love him too, and Kim, his wife. And he's, God will give you a problem child, okay? And Thomas is mine. And you would have to meet him and know him. Thomas have a problem with alcohol. His mind is brilliant. He's made millions and lost millions. And he has a business, and business is successful. The two of them, husband and wife, run it together. Well, I talked to Thomas about 9 minutes. Couldn't have been any more than 9 or 10 minutes. And he said, when are you coming to see me? And I said, soon. And I just let it go at that. Then Thomas' wife calls me up and says, look, Thomas said you were coming. She said, I don't know what you did, but he hasn't had a drop of alcohol since he talked to you last. I said, Jesus, thank you. I said, I don't know how long it's going to last. I said, it really doesn't matter, but I know God is going to deliver him. You see, when I see people, I don't see them as they are right then and there. A lot of times, God showed me their future. And God has shown me Thomas' future. And I told Thomas his future. And the devil started waging war against him from the moment I told him. He always comes here. They always send tithes here. And it's just how it is. So Thomas called me on the phone. He said, can you come soon? I said, well, you know, I'm already behind in my schedule. I said, but when I leave out, I'll come and see you either coming or going. Mostly coming back home. Anyway, they own several golf front. That's what they are. They own several golf front properties on the Gulf of over there in Florida, on Pensacola Beach. They live on the beach, and they own properties that they rent out to people coming to be on the beach, and because they spirit-filled believers, they own one property that they make available to Christians and believers, oceanfront, beachfront, gulffront, whatever. So she calls me back and she says, I have to be such and such a place, but here's, and so all my properties are rented out. They're already booked. She said, but here's a 3-day all expense paid beachfront for you to come and just get some rest. And I looked, I said, you don't have to do that. She said, I know I don't. You don't have to tell me that. She said, how many days you think you could squeeze in? I said, maybe 3. I said, maybe I need to do this. So God was letting me know I need to do this. And God was letting me know he's ministering to me. So I said, well, we'll confirm the dates as soon as I get back. She said, how long are you going to be gone? I said, I'm leaving this morning. But this little thing God put in here, I said, and I'll be back and be on the radio in the morning. She said, okay. So we headed to Augusta. And we get there. Mind you, I just want to see this rod, Aaron's rod, that showed up in her ark. And I want to see this manna. I don't have to eat none. I mean, I'm a believer. I believed it when they sent me the DVD to look at. Because I know from my experience with Dr. Kennedy that she is a woman of integrity and has been for 30, I've been in ministry 31 years. And she's been in ministry 35, 36, okay? So we get there, and right as we get there, I see the news media packing up their cameras and stuff and putting it in their news media car or van or whatever it was. And I looked at that, and I saw people leaving. And so I said to Jose, I said, you go down there to the healing room, and me and Brother Joe going to go in here. The reason me and Brother Joe want to go here, we always like to look at their, they have a restaurant on the compound, because she has a compound. And God sent this one lady over to me. The minute we hit the door, he sent this one lady. Just like he did with the oil when he sent us over here to Dalton to look at this oil. And some of you do know the oil was coming out the walls before, I believe, well, anyway, let me stay on track here. So we go in, and I'm asking the lady, where's the rod? And Jose down on the other end, and me and Brother Joe on this end, and Brother Joe was looking at something. I know Brother Joe liked to check out people's restaurants and that kind of thing. And she said, the pastor only brings it out now when the Lord tells her, I said, oh, you don't have it on display or anything. She said, nope. I said, okay. She said, but you know what? I was the one, when the brother started smelling it, he came and got me, and I came and got the pastor. I said, oh, really? She said, yeah. She said, and then she started talking to me. She said, we haven't fully comprehended this yet. I said, oh, okay. But we're trying to. So I'm thinking, okay, God, once again, you got me here in the beginning. You see, the last time I was there, 15, 16 years ago, they were just opening up the healing center, the healing room. And I remember then that I met her through Cal Pierce. I don't know if y'all know who Cal Pierce is. It might not, the name might not mean anything to you, but Cal Pierce opened up the healing rooms. And they were inventing Sozo ministry at the time. And they're the ones that took Sozo to Bethel. So I'm in there and I'm having all these flashbacks. And I'm remembering that even although I was a missionary, I've always been a missionary, I came up with all these people, which I really hadn't thought about in a long, long time. So the lady gave me the whole rundown of how it went down, how it happened, and everything. And she was the one that discovered it. And then she went and got the pastor. So I said, God, you always let me get the full story of whatever it is I'm supposed to be looking at or we're doing or whatever. So she said, it won't be out. Now, if you think about going down there, anything, go on the Sunday service. That's when they bring it out, and that's when they use the manna, communion. And the manna has not run out in she says, going on nine weeks now, and every time it's always fresh. It's always fresh. So now I can say I know a little bit more about what I'm talking about. And so Brother Joe and Jose went down the healing center and got prayer. But I got information and knowledge. Well, I guess if I have to say, what I really got was a boost in my faith to know that these were the same people and God was ministering to all of us at different points in our lives at the same time. And I see so much fruit. I see so much fruit, even although we all went off in our different callings. And the other thing that I saw is, like, the two ladies I talked to, you know, this lady says to me, she said, how long you been doing what you do? And I said, 31 years. She said, yeah, you look like it too. Now, I didn't know if she meant I look like some kind of mountain woman coming. Because all I had, I just had on some jeans and T-shirt and a little lightweight leather jacket and a cap on my head. But it was very respectful. And then she tried to give me advice how I could boost my ministry. and get it in front of more people that more people would know about me. But I just said, okay, thank you. You know, I get what you're saying. I get it. And then we went out and I sat in the chair. They got iron benches all along the ministry. And waited while Brother Joe went in and got prayer, because Jose, as you know, he got prayer first. And I just watched God like in an instant do a timeline flash with me. And then I knew that I had stepped into a different time period. I can't explain it to you. Just by getting in my car, going there, and being at the right place at the right time, doing the right thing, it was like I stepped into a time boost. And so I took a few pictures, and I wanted to send a few pictures to a few people, because God does not want you, brothers and sisters, to be behind in nothing. I've never been behind in anything. God always keeps me right on the forefront, and really right at the beginning of whatever he's kind of doing. If I'm interested, and if he's made me interested, I'm interested. So then there was a few things I bought. Books. They got a very nice bookstore and a very nice restaurant, but God didn't lead me to eat in their restaurant. Okay? Because I'm going to tell you what, I had a date with destiny. And all the time, God was saying, Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. So I said, you know, we better head home, because I got to be home. I got to get home today. Used to be I would have stayed down there, but not anymore. But I knew that that was part of what I had to do. You see, Dr. Kennedy believed in creative miracles. Dr. Kennedy believed in everything that happened at her church. She'd been believing it for 30, 40 years. It didn't happen because yesterday she woke up. She'd been laboring for this. I remember when she took a first group of people to Israel. I remember when she had so much opposition, putting the church next to the Masters Clubhouse, you know, where they play the Masters Tiger Woods. But that was what was in her heart. And that's what I was looking at. And I was looking at how God is, after 30-something years, giving her her heart's desire. Nobody could steal it. Nobody could stop it. Nobody could take it from her. Because that's the way God does it. And I try to tell people, you know, a lot of people think that I don't know what kind of, I know exactly what kind of ministry God has given me. But I know how he told me to work in it and walk in it. And I'm doing exactly that. And I'm blessed and I'm prospering because I'm obeying the instructions that God gives me, whether I understand it or not. Because I know understanding is coming. So we head back home. I talked to several people, you know, there. We head back home. And I'm thinking, now, we didn't eat because we left out early. Because I knew we could do this day trip, turn around, come back. But you see, Hebrews 10:24 was resonating in me. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. So there's Washington Road has all kind of, and you know Fort Gordon is there, right? Fort Gordon Army Base. So everything kind of revolves around the Masters and Fort Gordon. And so, remember the other day God had given me that, like, cast your net on the right side of the boat? I said, God don't want us to eat nothing on this side. Let's go through the light, and we're going to find something on the other side. So we go on the other side. We stopped at a couple places, but they said carry out only. And the Lord said, no, I don't want you to carry. I want you to just sit down somewhere. So, brothers and sisters, we saw this Captain D's fast food place. And I said, Brother Joe, find a place to park in front because I want to leave my stuff in the car. But I want to be able to watch the car. Because I know what kind of reputation Augusta used to have for those kind of crimes. And so we went in there, we found a place. We placed our order. And I mean, basically they were only really concerned about the window, the drive-thru, and it was busy. And I looked at the people working there. And I observed them, you know, we got the food and they didn't give us any, you know, ketchup, hot sauce, that kind of stuff. So Bro Joe got up and got that. And I began to look at the people. And it was only three people working there. And it was like God opened up the other realm for me. And what I saw when God opened up the other realm was I saw a COVID, I saw a pandemic, I saw a town like this one, which had lots of stores that said, we will relieve you of your gold and your jewelry. And I saw upscale stores. But then I saw three women, one cooking, one doing the window, and the other one on the register. The one on the window was on the register, too. And the place was immaculately clean. And I looked at the ladies, because I'm looking now from God's perspective. I'm not looking from my perspective. And I hear this lady talking about this another lady that came in there, too, who worked at a hospital. I know that because she was talking. And she was buying food for several people. And I saw them serving. Now, they didn't go out of their way to do nothing for nobody, okay? But they got those orders out. And the food was really good. And there was nothing there for a tip or anything like that. And I had left all my stuff in the car. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And I realized how blessed I had been by being able to get the electrical stuff done. And another member of the ministry was going to come and put a roof on the church. but the roof was fixed with the gutters. And so I text them and say, I love you, but thank you. We don't need a roof. But if and when I do, but trust me, because a roof for this place here costs you about $30,000-$40,000. So he was willing to bless the church with all that because he owned a roofing company. And I was thinking about all those things, and we finished eating. And I turned to the lady, I said, how many of you all is it in here? She says, it's only three of us. And I'm looking, you doing all this work. You're making less than minimum wage. But right now, you are vital. They're providing a vital service. It might not even look like it, but they put their life on the line every day for minimum wage. And I didn't have much, but I said, Brother Joe, I told the lady, I said, look, I said, my husband will be back in here. I didn't have much, but I said, look, take this 20 and these two fives and give them $10 a piece. I sent them back $30. If I would have had more, I would have given them more. Because I was so appreciative of the fact that I could get some good, hot, and I know that grease burned up anything that might have even been the devil would have thought to put on it. But that isn't it. Consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. See, all of us like to be cared for and appreciated. And I wanted them to know that these people that came in here, workers just like you, appreciate the fact that you open, that you serving up food, because somebody like us, we weren't anywhere where we could cook our own self something to eat. Brothers and sisters, God is looking at you. He's looking at me. He sent me all the way down there, if nothing else, to give them people $10 yesterday and to sow whatever I sowed into that ministry, which was the tithes off of what I had gotten. I sowed into that ministry, Dr. Sandra Kennedy. I sowed into it. I sowed into the lives of those three minimum wage workers, because I understand the love of God that has to be shed abroad in our hearts. I cared. I appreciate God for showing himself strong, for showing that he's yet alive, that he still does signs and miracles and wonders, and it'll never stop. It will never stop. Those ladies are going to remember. An old lady, a black man, and a tall a Latino guy came in here. They ain't say nothing to nobody. They ate their food. But when they left, they blessed everybody here with a little bit of something. It's a real world out there. It's real. What's happening every day is real. You got to learn to be sensitive to God's Holy Spirit. You got to learn that and truly be concerned about the people that God brings around you every day. I came home happy. I'm happy this morning. I'm happy. Brother Joe drove by himself all the way there, and he drove all the way back by himself. And I told him, I said, you know what? You still got it, old man. You still got it. You still got it. What was I talking about? You still got that gift that God has given you to get us to where we got to go and get us back home safely. You still got it, Brother Joe. And with that same spirit, I appreciate. I don't take it lightly when you give into this ministry. As I was being happy, as I was in that, on that property, your spirit was there with me. We have people in this ministry that I give secret missions to. I'm loving it. To go in and tear down strongholds, to take captive enemy conclaves. We don't talk about it. We live it. We do it. And they're happy to do it for God every day. They on here, they know who they are. We don't ask your permission to do nothing. But we obey God. And I'm happy because the Bible says God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. It ain't important. The emphasis some of you place on yourself is ridiculous. And then you wonder why God ain't moving for you like He's moving for somebody else. What is the issue of your heart? I'm getting ready to do some things, not Erica, but this ministry's purpose is about to bud forth like the buds on Aaron's rod. Because I asked God, I said, well, God, you know, now wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I thought, why not Moses' rod? These are things I'm asking God. I'm going to get the answers. I just got one budding forth. That was, I don't know why, what the purpose was, but I just shared in the blessing. Budding forth. Coming forth. A sign that is budding forth. A wonder that is budding forth. Something to make you go, ah, wow. But something that says to you, here it is, in a miraculous manner. Nobody was looking for it. God decided itself to do it. Brothers and sisters, we living in the best time. We living in one of the best times that I've ever known. I ain't been here but 71 years, and it's a long way to go. But I know one thing. I can say, just like Dorothy Norwood, okay? Okay. Did you get that in your spirit yet? Did you get that? Why don't you just shout that out this morning? Let the devil know you know victory is yours. You don't know how. It doesn't matter. Because this guy said, you want a miracle? You believing for a miracle? Believe for the miracle, but don't try to tell God how to give it to you. Woo! Whoop. Whoa!
Victory! very different me. Touchdown, you had me at believe. You had me at believe, you did. And where would I be without you, without you? I'd be packing my bags when I need to stay. I'd be chasing every breeze that blows my way. I'd be building my kingdom just to watch it fade.
Praise God. The sky is not the limit.